Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for the confidence that we have through Jesus Christ our Lord, that we belong to you. And you are our God and we are your people and you are our guide, our comforter, our encourager, our strong tower. So Lord, we look to you now. And we pray that through your word and by your spirit, you would speak to our hearts. Transform us by the renewing of our minds as you encourage us to be people of faith in Jesus Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, as we continue on our journey through faith stories in the Great Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, we come to one of my favorite figures in all of the Bible. We come to Joseph. And our verse for tonight is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. And that verse will serve as our theme for our message tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. Let me read that to us one more time. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. Now, the writer of Hebrews pulls this from the Genesis account of the life of Joseph, and the particular passage that speaks to this is in the very last chapter of Genesis, Genesis chapter 50, and it's verses 22 through 26. So let me read that to us, and we will see that that's exactly what happened. Joseph was looking into the future, and he spoke to the upcoming exodus of God's people, and he spoke to what needed to happen with his bones. So Joseph remained in Egypt, he and his father's house. Joseph lived 110 years, and Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were counted as Joseph's own. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here." So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now, the story of Joseph is one of the most formative stories in all of the Old Testament, but it's also, I think, one of the most practically encouraging stories as we think about God's hand, as is evidenced throughout the course of our lives. I want to give us 2 points tonight, and the first is this. Joseph had seen God's faithfulness revealed throughout his life. Joseph had seen God's faithfulness revealed throughout his life. Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob, and Joseph was favored by his father. And if you're not familiar with this story, let me summarize it for you. Joseph is number 11 in a family, in a culture where the firstborn is the one who is preeminent. And so Joseph should not have been favored over and above his 10 older brothers. And yet that's exactly what his father did. His father loved him and gave to him a coat of many colors to signify his special love for Joseph. When Joseph was 17 years old, he had a couple of dreams that would signify that Joseph's brothers and even his parents would bow down and worship him. Well, the brothers and the parents didn't much care for Joseph's dream. In fact, Joseph as a 17-year-old probably would have been better served to keep those things to himself. But nevertheless, he shared those dreams with his brothers and even with his father, saying that essentially one day they would bow before him. Well, the brothers didn't much care for the coat of many colors, and the brothers didn't much care for the dreams. And so when they had an opportunity, the brothers conspired that they would kill Joseph. Thankfully, Reuben, one of the older brothers, spoke up and said, "No, let's not kill him. Let's throw him into a pit." And so they did. They threw Joseph into a pit, and their consciences were so seared, such was their hatred for their brother, that as they heard him screaming from the pit, they sat down to eat. And then some Ishmaelite traders came by and they said, "Let's not kill him, let's sell him." So they did. They sold Joseph into slavery and Joseph was taken into Egypt. They took his coat of many colors and they dipped it in the blood of an animal and took it back to their father and said, "Look, see if this belongs to your son. It appears that a wild animal has attacked him." So these brothers deceived their father and destroyed his heart, and they sold their brother into slavery. Joseph was taken into Egypt into slavery to the house of Potiphar, the captain of Pharaoh's guard. And while Joseph was there, Joseph continued to trust God and live his life according to the teachings of Almighty God and according to faith in God. And over time, God prospered Joseph and he rose to preeminence in the house. In fact, in all of Potiphar's house, Joseph was over everything, such that all Potiphar concerned himself with was the food that he would eat. Well, Potiphar's wife took notice of Joseph. He was young and handsome. And in a not so subtle way, she came to him day after day and implored him to lie with her. She didn't really hold anything back. She didn't say, "Let's go get a cup of coffee and have a talk." She said, "Come, lie with me." And day after day after day, she extended this request to Joseph. But Joseph trusted God and he lived according to faith in Almighty God, and he would not succumb to this temptation. In fact, he told her, he said, "Everything in my master's house has been entrusted to me except for you. I would not do such a wicked thing against my master, and I wouldn't do such a wicked thing against my God to lie with you." Well, at one point she got tired of the rejection and the opportunity arose for her to falsely accuse him. They were alone and she said, "Once again, come lie with me." And Joseph did what smart people do to avoid temptation. He took off running. Well, she grabbed his outer garment and kept it. And that became evidence of the fact that he had sought to sexually assault her. Now, of course, that wasn't the case, but she had evidence, she had a story, and Joseph got thrown into prison. Where is God in all of this? Well, we'll see that God was near. Over time, God favored Joseph, and Joseph rose to preeminence among the prisoners, and he was in charge of the other prisoners, even as a prisoner himself. And then the king's cupbearer and baker were also thrown into prison. And after some time, they had dreams. And God, through Joseph, interpreted the dreams. That would become very important, not immediately, because although the cupbearer was restored to Pharaoh's service, and Joseph had said to him, "All I ask for the interpretation of your dream is that you say a good word to Pharaoh about me and get me out of prison." 2 whole years passed. And there Joseph still was, all hope of getting out diminishing as each day passed. But finally, Pharaoh had some dreams, and nobody could interpret them. And the cupbearer remembered that a couple of years ago, there was a Hebrew slave that had interpreted his dream. And so he suggested to Pharaoh, "Pharaoh, you should get this one to come, and perhaps he can give you the interpretation of the dream." And so that happened. Joseph was brought up out of the prison, and Pharaoh shared his dream with Joseph. Joseph gave credit and glory to God for the interpretation of the dreams, but then said, "Here is the interpretation of your dreams." And in short, it was that there would be 7 years of plenty in Egypt, and then they would be followed by 7 years of famine. And Joseph said, "What I would recommend that you do is that you appoint someone to collect a portion of the harvest each year and to store it so that during the years of plenty, you are storing up for the years of famine that are to come." Pharaoh liked Joseph's plan, and Pharaoh loved Joseph's wisdom that was given to him by Almighty God. And so Joseph, favored by God, rose to preeminence in all of Egypt. In fact, he was the number two person in the entire kingdom, and Egypt was the greatest country on the face of the earth at this time. And so, in effect, Joseph was the second most important person in the world. All who came to Joseph had to bow before him. Well, when the famine reached the place where Joseph's family lived, Jacob learned that they had grain in Egypt. And so he sent the brothers to go get grain. And guess who they had to come before to get grain? And guess who they had to bow before to get grain? Joseph's dreams were coming true, and they didn't realize it because they didn't recognize Joseph anymore. But Joseph knew who they were. And they bowed before him, and there's this interplay that lasts over a period of quite a bit of time. But ultimately, Joseph's identity is revealed by Joseph to his brothers. They go get their father, and all of Israel and all of Israel's family comes, and they make their home in Egypt, where they will be sustained by the very grain that Joseph saw collected in preparation for the famine. God had favored Joseph. And we talked last week about how when Jacob, before he died, called Joseph to himself and had Joseph bring his sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, whom we refer to most often as Ephraim and Manasseh because Jacob blessed the younger over the older. But Jacob died, and Joseph's brothers kind of panicked. And they said, you know, now that our father is gone, it may be that Joseph will seek to exact revenge on us. And let me tell you what Joseph said. This is Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 and 20. He said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." What a depth of faith that Joseph possessed, even in this moment when he could have taken revenge on his brothers. He chose rather to trust God and to live his life in a God-honoring manner. What an amazing thing. But Joseph was able to look back over the course of his life and see the hand of God evident. I'm sure that when he was in the pit, he couldn't see the hand of God evident, but he trusted the heart of God there. And I'm sure that when he was in Potiphar's house, he really couldn't see the hand of God as evident, but he trusted God's heart even when he was there. And when he was in the prison, he likely couldn't see the hand of God evident in every moment, but he trusted the heart of God and committed himself to following God's way over and above any other way. But now looking back, he looks at these brothers who wanted to kill him, but instead sold him into slavery, and he said, "You meant everything you did to me for evil, but God meant it for good." What an amazing depth of faith Joseph had. He had seen God's hand revealed, and in each moment, he trusted the heart of God, even when he couldn't see God's hand in front of him. Well, the second point that I want to give us today is this. Joseph trusted that God would fulfill his promises. Even in this moment, even as he's preparing to die, Joseph is still trusting God, knowing that though he will not see the fulfillment of God's promise, he knows that God will bring his promises to pass, such that he speaks to the exodus from Egypt, which would come later. He speaks to the fact that God would lead them up out of this place, for the promise to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob was not that they would go into Egypt, but rather that they would go into the promised land. And Joseph believed that God would bring that promise to pass, such that he said, "When you go up from here, take my bones with you." So in Exodus chapter 13, during the Exodus, as God's people are leaving Egypt, listen to what Moses did. This is verse 19. "Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here.'" This is centuries later. And what's happening? What Joseph knew would happen was happening. God was delivering his people from Egypt to take them to the land that he had promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And then we come to the end of Joshua. As God's people have come into the land promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And listen to Joshua 24, verse 32. "As for the bones of Joseph, which the people of Israel brought up from Egypt, they buried them at Shechem, in the piece of land that Jacob bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money. It became an inheritance of the descendants of Joseph." Isn't that beautiful? Joseph lived his life by faith. And when the time came for Joseph to die, his faith was as strong, if not stronger, than ever it had been. He knew that God would fulfill his promise, and God indeed fulfilled his promise. Do you know that for all of us who trust and follow Jesus,
we can be just as sure that God will fulfill His promises to us. Every promise that He has made in His holy and inerrant word will come to pass. We can trust that. When God's hand is not as evident as we would like it to be, like Joseph, we can trust God's heart and know that He is for us and He is working in ways we cannot now perceive to bring His promises to pass for His glory and our good. Let's pray together. Father, we love You and we thank You so much that You are a trustworthy, faithful God. And we thank You, Lord, that You revealed Yourself in so many powerful ways in the life of Joseph. And we're thankful, Lord, for the example that we have in Joseph of faith that endures even in the most difficult of circumstances. And so, Lord, we pray that like Joseph, we would look to You, that no matter what our circumstances may be, we may be the sort of people who live by faith, that when we can't see Your hand, we trust Your heart. And we live our lives according to the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And in so doing, we bless others. And Lord, before we end our time together tonight, once again, we join together our hearts and our minds and even our voices to pray that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And in so doing, we will answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to worship with us tonight, and we hope that you will join us this Sunday at 11 a.m. as we continue to worship our risen Savior. God bless you.